You know, I don't like comparing players because everybody's journey is different. And, you know, everybody moves through that their own way. So it's, again, it matters where you finish up at, you know, at the end of the day. But I will say this, that CJ did have a heck of a year with the yardage and managing the game and the explosive passes. You know, I know he's got some really good guys around him, which is really good to have, with some new additions this year with another receiver and a running back. But excellent year. Again, commend him and the coaches and everybody on that staff.
We're back live with more Rami Metcalf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's Bears head coach Matt Eberflus talking about any comparisons between Caleb Williams and Houston Texans QB CJ Stroud, who the Bears will see this Sunday. And speaking of the Chicago Bears, before Chicago takes on Houston, tune in Sunday evening from 5:30 to 7:20 after the Cubs game for your local Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Busey Bank and Aurelio's. Join Mully, Olin Cruz, and Patrick Manley as they'll get you set for that game with the Texans. And joining me now on the Circus Sports Hotline, former Heisman Award winner, NFL QB, now color analyst for those Houston Texans. Pleasure to welcome in Andre Ware. Andre, how are you this evening, my man?
Great, Marami. How are you doing this evening?
Doing real good. Before we get into like the specifics of this Texans team and this Sunday's game, I was thinking about that Texans team today, and it is remarkable how quickly that thing got turned around. You know, a year and a half ago, I don't know that anybody thought this Texans team would be here, but they bring in DeMeco Ryans, they bring in CJ Stroud last year, obviously, and they got this thing on track real fast. Andre, did it feel fast to you in terms of where, how quickly the expectations changed for this organization?
Yeah, I've been a part of the Texans organization for now, I think this is our, Mark and I's 23rd season together. So there've been some highs and there's certainly been some lows. And we were going through one of those periods where it was, you know, the roller coaster was at the bottom. And in comes DeMeco Ryans. I don't know that I believe that it would happen as fast as it did. I did believe that it would get turned around, but it certainly happened in grand fashion. It was quick. The entire building, not just the results on the field, but every employee in the building just kind of welcomed him in with open arms, and he was able to get this thing on the right track. And so it's been outstanding to watch, to see it play out on the field with CJ and the guys that on the team. It's been outstanding.
You know, you hear the word culture get thrown around a lot in sports, but I think especially around the sport of football and the NFL. But it really does feel like the culture and the vibe in that building changed the day that DeMeco Ryans walked in.
Well, it's funny. You know, I don't use that word a lot, but on a previous coaching staff, I'll let it remain nameless. That was tossed around a lot, and it was bad culture because everybody that went to work in that building was miserable. And so, you know, all of a sudden here comes DeMeco a few years removed from that, and everybody's happy to go in. Everybody's got a smile on their faces. Everyone that you ask to a person, if the culture changed, and it certainly changed for the better.
Talking with Andre Ware, color analyst for the Houston Texans, who of course will face the Bears this Sunday, and you can turn things around quick, both on the field and in terms of the culture and the vibe in the building when you get the right quarterback, and it looks like they got that in CJ Stroud. Did you see this out of that dude though when he walked in the building?
No, he's poised, and I met CJ in New York for the Heisman. I was impressed with his demeanor then. And with him being a Heisman finalist, and then, you know, to see him come to Houston and just kind of cool, calm, and collected. And I think that's what you have to really play the position and to play it at a high level. And he is just all football all the time when it's football season. And he's serious about the way he takes his job and his approach to it all. And the accuracy was there from day one. The velocity, the being able to change gears with the ball in terms of being able to drive it into small windows as well as put touch on it, that was there from day one. It was just a lack of experience. But as far as the player, no, I didn't see it coming this fast. But, boy, he had some tools that you knew they were going to be able to work with.
Do you feel like there's any – the possibility of any sophomore slump for him, as you know, this league is constantly watching tape and trying to figure out offenses and quarterbacks. They got a whole season on him now. Do you see any possibility of a sophomore slump for C.J. Stroud?
No, and I actually thought that way. I guess it was a couple of weeks into training camp. I hope this doesn't happen. You certainly don't want to say that out loud and put it out there, but just even in conversation and not over the airways. But I think Nick Caserio did a fantastic job of surrounding him with more talent. Enter Stephon Diggs, enter Joe Mixon into the mix, and that's how you kind of curb that and not allow it to happen, as you put a few more weapons around him. Brevin Jordan is playing well. Dalton Schultz at tight end, and Kate Stover as well. So they've got a full complement on the offensive side around CJ. And now with the way he plays and the way he goes about things, all he's got to do is just, spread the ball around. And it's going to be one of those seasons where each and every game someone else can step up. Nico had a heck of a game receiving this past week. It could be Tank 1 week. It could be Stephon Diggs, who, you say he didn't have a big game. It's 6 catches, and 2 of those were for touchdowns. And so it could be anyone, anytime within this offense, which makes it tough on a defense to prepare for week in and week out.
Talking with Andre Ware, color analyst for the Houston Texans Radio Network. And, I think Stephon Diggs was the guy, at least to me, Andre, was the guy that most people took note of when going over those offseason moves. But, and I'll be real with you, sometimes the NFL moves so fast in the offseason, you see a move and then you don't remember a guy's on a team until you turn on week one, Andre. If you're just a fan at home watching. And I turned on that game and I saw Joe Mixon in the backfield and I went, oh yeah, they got Joe Mixon this offseason. Yeah. That's a dimension that they added to that offense. They had the wide receivers, and obviously adding Stephon Diggs, the rich get richer. But that element of a run game and kind of a physical run game that Joe Mixon brings, that's a different dimension to that offense than they had in C.J. Stroud's rookie year.
Yeah, Robbie, and you can forget it because neither one played very much in the preseason. Joe Mixon didn't play at all, and I don't know if Stephon Diggs, he may have played a series or two in the preseason, so you forget that they were even signed. And then all of a sudden, week one, Joe goes for 159 yards and a touchdown. He also had 3 receptions in that game. And then Stephon Diggs, we just talked about him. So, yeah, it's easy to forget it because they don't take, nobody plays in the preseason anymore, except the guys in Kansas City, and that's why they're off to such good starts every single year in the month of September. Because I'm a believer that you need to play in the preseason. You can't go from 0 to 100. But I tell you what, Joe Mixon might have just proven me absolutely wrong.
Yeah, solid week one for him. Talking with Andre Ware of the Texans Radio Network. You guys had your rookie QB last year. You heard the soundbite of Matt Eberflus coming out of the break when someone asked him about comparisons between Caleb Williams and C.J. Stroud. I you don't want to put those types of expectations or set that type of bar for a rookie QB, because what C.J. Stroud did last year was remarkable, and you don't see it that often. But what do you see in a Caleb Williams that maybe in terms of those traits you were talking about earlier that C.J. Stroud has that him and Caleb Williams share?
I see an extremely talented young quarterback is what I see, and I paid close attention to his last year at USC, or last season, where I just sat down and I'm like, I am going to just focus totally in and see exactly what Caleb Williams is all about. You can't touch him in a phone booth. He's elusive. He can make plays with his legs, but he's extremely accurate. It's just going to take a little bit of time for him to get used to the NFL game. It happens faster for some guys than others. The talent around him is certainly there with DJ Moore, and they bring in Keenan Allen. Roma Dunze comes in as well. He's got talent at tight end as well. Can they protect him? Can they give him the time? Because if that happens, if the offensive line comes together, then you're going to start to see some things happen fast for Caleb Williams. He's an extremely talented, bright young man that I think we're going to talk a lot about him in the very near future. And then for years to come.
Yeah, but you brought up the blocking issues, the protection issues in front of him, and that was on full display Sunday in week one against Tennessee. I'm sure the Texans are watching that game and thinking the interior of that Bears line is something that can be exploited right now.
Well, you can best believe that they're watching it, and they're going to try that with a defensive-minded head coach who, you know, calls the stuff for them and knows how to get pressure on a quarterback. They've made some adjustments defensively as well, bringing in Daniel Hunter, who's just a sack machine, who knows how to get to the quarterback. They were better in the interior part of the defensive line than I thought. The two sacks came from the defensive tackles on Sunday. So they have guys in the middle with Khalil Davis, Mario Edwards Jr., Fatakuske in the middle as well, and Tim Settle, the defensive tackles for the Texans. They can get pushed up the middle, and that's where a quarterback least wants to be pressured, is right in his face, because you can't step up into the pocket. If you step outside, now you bring the defensive ends into it. They're able to get that type of pressure from inside.
And Andre, I spent a good part of the first hour of my show tonight fretting about that offensive line and what it can mean for especially a rookie quarterback when he's seeing that type of pressure from the interior. You know, being a former quarterback yourself, you can start to see ghosts and make bad decisions even if there isn't necessarily pressure there, if you're just pressured enough that you're constantly feeling it.
Yeah, if you can't drop back and survey coverage and you're constantly being pressured and it's in your lap, that's the most frustrating area in which to get the pressure. And so you're right. You start to look at the offensive line as you're dropping back, missing keys in the secondary or where you should go with the football in a timely manner. And so you don't want that for Caleb. You certainly don't want it. Not being able to step up in the pocket and escape, you know, outside or up and outside, that's where the game gets frustrating for you, and that would make for a long season.
Andre Ware, Texans color radio analyst, former Heisman winner, and NFL quarterback, my guest for just a couple more minutes here on the Score evening show. So from the other side of things, we've identified some weaknesses for the Bears, and I know you've been with the Texans for a long time, Andre. I don't expect you to give away any company secrets, but when you're watching tape and getting ready for this one, where do you see maybe a matchup that favors the Bears, that could work against the Texans when these two teams face off on Sunday night?
Well, I know Keenan Allen's a fantastic route runner along with DJ Moore. And, and so, you know, there's a rookie that I'm sure they're going to try to test the waters of Lassiter, who's a rookie corner that's starting that has had a great camp. He played solid on Sunday. But I could see the Bears trying to target him. It's just, will Caleb have the necessary time to exploit any matchups on the outside other than just getting the ball out quickly? And then if you go to that, that's when you know guys like Stingley will start to sit on routes and maybe start to jump them. He has really come on as a cover man, as it just remaining healthy. And I think through him being healthy, he's made himself an extremely talented, a better player, who's already extremely talented, but now you're starting to reap the benefits of that. Guys, he can shut down the entire side of one field. That's how talented Derek Stingley is. He's a playmaker and a ball hawk on that side. So believe it or not, there aren't a whole lot of weaknesses on this Texans team. They've got a kicker that made 350-plus yard field goals. He misses one of those. We lose in Indianapolis this past weekend. So, you know, you don't have to be perfect, because you know you have him in your back pocket. You're going to score points, and you're going to score a lot of them. It's just not a team that has many, many, many weaknesses, so to speak.
Did the fan base out there in Houston just jump right back in, Andre, with the problems we talked about at the start of this interview in a previous era of Texans football? Or is there still some maybe side-eyeing this football team and going, show me that this is real around the city of Houston?
Oh, no. Okay. They jumped it. With the hiring of D'Amico, they jumped right back in.
All right.
And because they wanted to pull for him. He's a former Texans player. who came home. They were welcoming him with open arms, and they knew the type of individual that was being hired. And so they jumped right back in. Whereas you couldn't give tickets away 2 years ago, 3-4 years ago, now you can't, you know, you can't hold them off from asking for tickets. It's been crazy, the turnaround in such a short period of time.
Well, we're hoping for the same thing around here in Chicago, Andre, but we do appreciate your time. That's Texans color radio analyst, Heisman Trophy winner, former NFL quarterback, Andre Ware, my guest for the last few minutes. Really appreciate the time and the insight, my man.
And thank you, Rami. I appreciate you having me.
And he joined me on the Circa Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. I mentioned before the game, you can check out our pregame show right after Cubs baseball with Mully, Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley. Immediately following the game, Mark Grody will join Olin and Manley with instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Wonderverse. And all of that can be heard right here on the Score and the Odyssey app. I just hope it's a close game. That's a really good Texans team on Sunday. You're on the national stage. It's Caleb Williams' first time on the national stage and going against a guy who sort of set the bar for rookie QBs with this performance last year. So I don't want this team to get embarrassed. And I know that's not setting a very high bar, but I just don't want this team to get embarrassed on the national stage and have people start, you know, turning this organization back into what has been one of the laughing stocks of the NFL for the last few years, and arrows being slung at Caleb Williams with the whole country watching. So we shall see. And maybe it's some of the things that concerned me about week one that have me feeling some sort of way about week two and beyond. It just things change just a little bit. I'm not panicking or overreacting, but things changed just a little bit for me based on what I saw week one. We'll talk about that right after this. I'm Rami Makhlouf. This is the Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Join Shane Reardon and watch the Bears take on the Texans this Sunday for a football watch party at the Wall in Marcus Gurney Cinemas when Chicago takes on Houston in prime time. You can enjoy some great food and drink and watch the game on the Wall's massive screen. That's Sunday from 6 to 8 with Shane Reardon at the Wall in Marcus Gurney Cinema. I am Rami Makhlouf. It says the Score Evening Show right here on 670 Score. Host of the Athletic Football Show, Derek Klassen, will be here at 8 o'clock. But I was saying before the break that I just don't want to get embarrassed Sunday night against that Texans team after what I saw in week one from both those teams. And I'm just wondering, and you can shoot me a text at 312-644-6767 if you are so inclined. Did week one at all change how you feel about week two and beyond? And I don't think it's overreacting to watch the Bears and watch what went on around the league and maybe just not completely flip on your expectations or change your prediction for this Bears team by a 2 or 3 game swing, but to just maybe tweak things a little bit based on what you saw in week one from the Bears and around the NFL and looking ahead at the schedule a little bit. Because they won and the defense looked great. And if the defense can play anywhere near that level, you're going to be in every game, basically. You shouldn't be giving up a lot of points, and the defense should be making the type of plays that have you in just about every game. So that's definitely a big positive that you got to take out of that game. But the struggles of the offensive line, and on top of that, what I laid out in the first segment as some concerning things from Shane Waldron and the play calling and some personnel decisions, on top of some injury problems that you now have, especially with the wide receiver core and Keenan Allen struggling with the heel injury that was bothering him in the preseason. Roma Dunze, a sprained MCL, he's listed as day-to-day. You would think even if both of those guys or one of those guys is available on Sunday, they might not be at 100% or fully effective. Those are all factors that kind of change, that, like I said, not completely change your expectations or your prediction for this Bears team, but could tweak it just a little bit. And it's not just what the Bears did. You have to look around the league at what some of their upcoming opponents have done. Because I'll be honest, when I looked at especially the first 7, 8, and actually all the way up until week 10, as I'm looking at the schedule right now, I was feeling pretty good about things. And still, quite honestly, once you get to week 8, and I'm not even really sure what the Jaguars are, maybe even as soon as week 6, you should have a nice little run of some pretty easy football games relative to the rest of the league. Some pretty easy football games when you get to the stretch of, like I said, Jacksonville, maybe good, maybe not. I'm still kind of on the fence about them. But then you got Washington, Arizona, and New England in weeks 8 through 10. Those are bad football teams. And by then, the Bears should have things humming. But before that, I was looking at Indianapolis, Los Angeles, Carolina, Jacksonville. Those are the four games that they have after Houston. And then you throw Houston in there, who we just talked with Andre Ware. That sounds like an organization that's thinking Super Bowl right now. In C.J. Stroud's second year and what D'Amico Ryans has been able to do with that defense. And they came up big in week one, 29-27. C.J. Stroud did his thing, 234 yards, 2 touchdowns. I told Andre Ware, when I saw him in a Texans uniform week one, I was like, oh yeah, I do remember them signing Joe Mixon. That's right. That guy's a bruising running back. And a productive one when healthy. 159 yards on the ground. This team scares me a little bit. And what their defense can do, and especially what their defensive front can do, and with what I saw from that Bears offensive front, it scares me a little bit based on what I saw in week one from those two teams and the Bears' weaknesses and the Texans' strengths. I just want to see them put up a good fight. Like, I thought they had a chance to win that game when I first saw it on the schedule. Now I'm at the point where I just want to see him put up a good fight. Beyond that, you have Indianapolis, and that was the team that gave that Texans team a run for their money in week one. And man, I'm not a big Richardson guy, but Robbie, did you see that throw that he made from like the 50-yard line on a line to the end zone under pressure? That was some high-level play. That was a high-level play from Anthony Richardson right there.
Incredible. Incredible.
Insane.
Arm talent.
And by the way, they had it from like the that camera that's up on a wire above the field. It was an insane throw and play. And like I said, they gave that Texans team a run for their money. And now the Colts look like maybe a tougher game. Again, considering what I saw in terms of some of the concerns that showed themselves in week one for the Bears, that Colts game, a tougher game than maybe I thought it was when I first saw it pop up on the schedule. And then the Rams in week four. And man, they lost on Sunday to a very good Lions team.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
But again, gave them a run for their money, pushed them absolutely to their limits. And gave them a real run for their money. And I don't know how Sean McVay and the Rams did it, because the Bears had to be bad for like 3 or 4 years just to get back to the point of having some hope. They flipped that thing quick. And it helps that you have Matthew Stafford at quarterback, even at the age and stage of his career that he's at. But they flipped that thing quick, and they got it humming again. They lost Puka Nacua in that game, and I mean, they ended up with only 20 points, but that offense, still an offense that can move the football, and they gave Jared Goff some problems. And again, I go back to the Bears offensive line. I don't know that I would. Now, after that, you have Carolina. You should beat the crap out of Carolina in week 5. And then I went through the rest of it with you. You got Jacksonville, I'm on the fence, Washington, Arizona, New England. Then things get real tough. But I'm just looking at the first half of the schedule, because the back half I knew was going to be tough. 2 with Green Bay, 2 with Minnesota, 2 with Detroit, San Francisco, and Seattle is the back half of the schedule starting in week 11. I knew that was going to be tough, and they need to have things humming by then if they're going to make any sort of noise in the playoff picture. But just looking at the first half of the schedule that I thought was, based on how I felt about the Bears and maybe some optimism getting a little bit carried away based on offseason hype, based on Caleb Williams doing some things that looked special in the preseason. I saw week one. I saw him go against a real NFL team, a real NFL game plan, And those expectations came back down to earth just a little bit. Just a little bit. And a lot of it has to do with that offensive line. And now you throw in the injuries to the wide receiver room. Like, I just came down to earth just a little bit. And what I saw from Houston in week one, when we already knew they were a good team, what I saw from Indy in week one, what I saw from Los Angeles in week one, it just has me thinking that this first half of the schedule, or at least the first 5 or 6 weeks of the schedule, depending on what Jacksonville shows themselves to be before that game in London, it might be a little bit tougher than I thought it was. And the Bears' offensive line, and if they keep on suffering injuries to that wide receiver core, those guys' injuries don't take a turn for the better. These first 5 or 6 weeks have a different feel to them than they did before week one started. Is that an overreaction? Did week one change anything for you as far as week two and beyond? 312-644-6767. I find myself, and Robbie, you've been here with me for a bunch of these shows that I've hosted here the last few weeks. I keep on having to ask myself if I'm overreacting, both in the good and the bad, because I said this to Andre Ware, I think it was, or no, maybe it was Patrick Finley, that like when you have hopes and expectations for the first time in a long time, you kind of have to check your emotions and you have to check that inner dialogue that you're having. And maybe I'm overreacting to some of the things that I saw that were concerning in week one, as far as the offensive line goes, as far as some of Waldron's decisions go. But Robbie, you tell me, am I overreacting if no. I've come back down to earth just a little bit with this Bears team and I'm looking at some of these other teams as maybe tougher opponents than what I thought they were 2 weeks ago?
I thought the game against the Titans was like getting slapped and you're like in reality. I felt like that's what happened to Bears fans, because it's like, oh, we have an amazing wide receiving room. You've seen Keenan Allen hobbling and you have this injury to Rome Odunze. It's like, oh, we don't really have depth besides DJ Moore playing. And then after that, it's Tyler Scott. And then who else? And then your running back room, it's like, oh, we got Swift. And then, okay, who else? And then you look at your O-line, it's like, all right, well, we don't really have a lot there to begin with. So I feel like we had all of this hype, or Bears fans had all of this hype, just for in one game get slapped and be like, oh, winning in the NFL is really, really, really hard. Yeah. And we didn't think we had what we had. It was all on paper very nice. But once the game started, we realized, oh, rookie quarterback.
Yeah, and you realized, oh, 11 starters on the field and not guys who are fighting for their roster lives. You realize, oh, a full game plan and a new, like, you didn't have Tennessee's game plan on tape. They brought in a new defensive coordinator this year, and you're going to run into that throughout the season, of running into coaches and players and teams that are unfamiliar to you who have moved into new positions. So, yeah, man, these are all the realities of the NFL, like, when the bullets start to fly for real and things mean something out there on the field, and it's not just a glorified practice like what we see in the preseason. A couple texts have come in. This is from the 229. I'm not convinced that Flus can't shut down Houston. The Harbaugh brothers have the blueprint. The Ravens smoked them twice last season, and Michigan beat Stroud twice as well. Okay. I'm not sure what the Harbaughs having the blueprint have anything to do with Flus having the blueprint. Again, I got to give it up to Eberflus for the defensive game plan that we saw Sunday, especially in the second half. Absolutely terrorized Will Levis, no doubt. And I have a level of confidence that he can cause some problems for CJ Stroud and that Texans offense, but they're playing at a higher level and they got a lot more weapons. Man, they got three wide receivers that can get you at any time, and added Joe Mixon to the backfield.
And to give like some Bears fans some more hope and optimism as well, you do have the defense that can win you games, and we just saw it. Even though I don't think the Titans are very good, and their quarterback puts mayonnaise in coffee, like that's just like what Will Levis does.
Yeah,
like,
I knew he made bad decisions right then.
Exactly.
And there.
But yeah. This defense, I feel like, can kind of hold the line or hold the door if you're Game of Thrones like lover. Like, until the offense kind of gets things together. And that, I feel like you can kind of be like, all right, we have this really good thing. We just need this other thing to kind of get up to speed. And I think Caleb Williams will do that.
Yeah, the defense can win them games, Robbie, but not to the degree that we saw on Sunday. I threw this number out there in the first segment of the show, and I'm sure I'm not the first person to throw this number out there on these airwaves. Teams trailing by two or more scores at halftime who failed to score an offensive touchdown all game, all time, had been 2-306, two wins and 306 losses. The Bears made it 306. And the Bears had one of those other two wins in 2006 in the famous Denny Green, we thought they were a game.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
They literally drove a man crazy winning a football game that way, because he was like, that doesn't happen. This doesn't happen. So you can count on the defense carrying you a little bit. And I said that before the season started. I talked about Bruce Arians in the year that the Buccaneers signed Tom Brady and won a Super Bowl. He said the defense needs to carry them in the first half of the season with Tom Brady, who some people think is the GOAT. If Tom Brady needs to be carried by a defense until he figures things out in a new situation, Caleb Williams certainly does. There's no doubt about that, but not to the degree that we saw on Sunday. They will not beat the Texans in the same way that they beat the Tennessee Titans. If you have under 150 total yards of offense and don't score a touchdown, they will not beat the Texans. They won't get enough turnovers to do it. They won't put enough pressure on CJ Stroud to do it. It simply won't happen. You won't beat Indy that way. You won't beat Los Angeles that way. I don't even know if you'll beat Carolina that way. Like, you just don't win games that way.
They'll beat Carolina that way. I know what you're saying, but they will beat Carolina. That's not hard.
Okay. All right. I hope you're right. And if you're not, I hope I'm working with you shortly thereafter, so I can be like, what happened with that Carolina prediction you were so sure about?
I mean, they are so ago. Bryce Young. I mean, dude, the fleece of all time is Ryan Poles. And you look at Bryce Young, it's like, we traded for that? Like, they wanted that? Okay, cool.
I almost feel bad. Almost. About that fleecing. Almost. I don't, but I almost feel bad about that fleecing because it was so bad. Did week one change anything for you as far as week two goes and beyond? 312-644-6767. If you want to shoot me a few more texts, and I will get to those as the show goes on. Right after this, though, and I will talk with Derek Klassen, host of the Athletic Football Show, coming up at 8 o'clock. I've found myself asking this question a lot throughout my career. Just what in the hell is Aaron Rodgers talking about? We'll get to that right after this. Robbie Maklof, The Score Evening Show, right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back, live with more Robbie Maklof on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me with you till about 8:30, taking you right up to Cubs baseball as they try and close out the sweep against the Dodgers. Pat and Ron with the call right here on your home for Chicago Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. Text coming in during the break as I was talking last segment, asking if week one changed anything for you about week two and beyond with this Bears team in terms of your expectations. This from the 815. For both Chicago and Houston, it's only one game. I feel like there has been a major overreaction to Caleb Williams' play. Watch him work on Sunday night. Let me be very clear. I am not overreacting to Caleb Williams' play. I am not that disheartened at all by Caleb Williams' play. I expected Caleb Williams. Now, I will say, like, of course, I went into week one, like, hyped up and hoping and thinking that maybe Caleb Williams would do some crazy stuff in that game, all right? We all did. We all let our minds go there. We all did, okay? After the way that the offseason went and getting the first pick in the draft and getting a Heisman winner and a guy who's labeled as a generational talent. Like, I did let my imagination go there. But also, at the same time, I've been saying for weeks here on The Score, months maybe even, that I'm not gonna put this season on Caleb Williams. I'm not gonna put wins and losses on Caleb Williams. I don't think win-loss is a QB stat, but it certainly weighs into how I evaluate a QB, but not as a rookie. I expect this team to win football games sometimes in spite of Caleb Williams, and they did on Sunday. But I don't think that is going to be something that you can recreate on a consistent basis, not to that degree. History says that that's not something that you can recreate on a consistent basis. And Williams does need to play better, but I'm not that shocked or disheartened or discouraged by what I saw from Caleb Williams in week one. I am a little discouraged and disheartened by what I saw from the offensive line in week one. I am a little discouraged and disheartened based on what I saw a little bit of Shane Waldron in week one. That's more what I'm reacting to than anything when I say my outlook on the next 4 to 6 weeks, what I thought was a relatively easy patch on the schedule. My outlook has changed a little bit. It's a little bit more difficult based on what I saw from the offensive line, based on some injuries, based on what I saw from Shane Waldron that raised a few red flags for me, and based on what I saw those other teams that they'll be facing do in week one, that maybe they do some things better than I thought. So it's not, this isn't about Caleb Williams. And a good point from the 773, Caleb Williams' ball security alone is a marvelous feat for a Bears quarterback. And then he sent another text where he correctly spelled feet and not like the ones that you put put shoes on, but actually F-E-A-T. So good job on the spelling correction there. Yeah, this ain't about, most of what I'm saying ain't about Caleb Williams. I know that's where most discussions with this football team start, but that's not how my outlook on this football team will start and end in 2024. There are a lot of people that I'm putting the pressure on before I put it on Caleb Williams, and that I put the blame or give blame or credit out to, than I will Caleb Williams in wins and in losses. I just want to be very clear about that this, whatever panic or concern you might hear in my voice here tonight is not about the quarterback. Now, the quarterback is one of the dominoes that falls when the offensive line isn't good, when the play calling isn't great, when the personnel decisions and your best players aren't out there on the field. That's going to make things more difficult for the quarterback, but I don't put it on him and him alone. He ain't there yet. He's not Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or one of these guys yet. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, the Jets lost the first game that he actually played and finished on Monday night against the San Francisco 49ers. And, you know, as football fans do, a little bit of panic in New York and New Jersey about what they saw in week one from their football team and from their quarterback, who is supposed to be the savior of this organization before he suffered the Achilles injuries last year. And he comes back this year. And Aaron Rodgers, he pulled a page out of his old playbook. Remember R-E-L-A-X when Aaron Rodgers
told it? R-E-L-A-X.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all remember that. I do. I live in Milwaukee, and I do some work in Milwaukee. Don't worry. Born and bred Chicagoan. I root for all the same teams you do. And I'm not working across enemy lines or anything. But when he said that, at first, there was a lot of like pushback. Like, you're going to tell me to relax? You need to play better. No, I'm not going to relax. You need to just be better. And then like, as fans do, they went on a run that year. I think they ran the table and went into the playoffs. Everybody was like, see, Aaron told us all to relax. I knew it. I knew it the whole time. Everybody was overreacting. We just needed to relax. Well, Rodgers pulled out that playbook again, but put a little twist on it for Jets fans who didn't like what they saw in week one.
I mean, I think we always got to stay relaxed. It's a long season. I think at times people think the season is like you're out in the prairie or the desert and you're wandering around trying to find water. But it's more like a nice, slow bolero, you know, where we're just swaying with the music and reacting to whatever comes to us and through us, and just trying to not get too high with the highs or too low with the lows. The league is a lot different than when I said relax years ago, in that there's just so much more coverage, that there's so much more opportunity for overreaction. So I get it. We want to win. The fans want to win. The organization wants to win. But the process has to be the same. You know, if it's good enough in week one, it's good enough in the playoffs. So we got to stick to the process and the preparation, the way that goes, and trust that it's good enough. You know, like a nice, smooth bolero.
Yeah, man. You just got to take what the universe brings to you, man. You know, it's like, It's like a bolero. What kind of analogy is that? Robbie Triano, my producer this evening. Do you know what a bolero is? Do you have any idea what a bolero is?
I was Googling it. I have absolutely no idea.
Nobody knows what it is. What kind of analogy is that? I Googled it myself, and apparently a bolero is a genre of song which originated in Eastern Cuba in the late 19th century as part of the Trova tradition. Of course. How do you not know that, Robbie Triano?
He listened to that on ayahuasca, for sure. He was down somewhere in some really warm place, was taking ayahuasca, and he heard, he's like, this is the best thing I've ever heard. Everyone must know this. We don't, Aaron.
And he was like, a football season is just like a bolero, dude. I didn't realize until now, but a football season is just like a bolero. And you think that's going to calm down Jets fans? You thought the bolero analogy would call? You think they would get that? You think there's some dude in New Jersey or Brooklyn right now who's like, oh, yeah, it's like a bolero. I don't know why I never thought of it like that, to learn Rodgers said it. A football season is just like a bolero, Joey. What are we overreacting for?
Exactly. I thought he meant bolero like the gas station. It's like, that's not a chill place. I don't have fun at the gas station.
No, some gas stations I just don't go to. Some I will not even go to, Robbie Triano. But that was the most hippy dippy answer. That you're right. He was 100% on ayahuasca when he came up with the bolero analogy for an NFL season. He's like, you know, a few years ago, I could just say R-E-L-A-X. Now I got to, you know, people are going to overreact and jump on everything that I say. So let me elaborate. It's like a bolero. That's what an NFL season is like. It's like a 19th century dance. How do you know what I'm talking about? A bolero. Everybody knows what a bolero is. He's weird, dude. He's weird. I don't know if you heard, he has a Netflix documentary coming out. And the title is Aaron Rodgers' Enigma, which is, like, dude, an enigma is, like, mysterious. Like, an enigma is something that will surprise. I've known every opinion that Aaron Rodgers was going to have before he's had it for the last 10 years. There's nothing that's an enigma about this guy.
Yeah, he's laid it all on the. He's laid it all out there. We know exactly who you are.
There's no enigma. We know exactly who and what you are, bro. You've been very upfront for it for a long time. Oh, the 773 with a little factoid. That's where La Cucaracha came from. Okay, all right. La Cucaracha is a bolero, apparently, according to the 773. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but thank you for your contributions.
If it came from the texter, it has to be right.
It has to be true. I bet Derek Klassen knows. He's the host of the Athletic Football Show and also an expert on 19th century music. Bet you didn't know that. He will join me to talk some Bears and NFL football right after this. Robbie Maclauf, The Score Evening Show, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.